After a heartbreaking start to the season for Reading FC, the Royals evaded not one but two potential late comebacks to seal a pair of vital wins that could truly kickstart their season. A 3-1 win at home to Peterborough on Tuesday came courtesy of some spectacular strikes before Ovie Ejaria conjured up a 2-1 victory at Fulham, aided by plenty of last-ditch defending. Welcome to episode 272 of the Tyler Stem podcast, a podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans. I'm Mark Mayer, back in the host chair this week after what I'd like to think is a well-earned week off, and the man who dropped in for me and the Tyler Stem assistant editor, Ollie Allen, is here with me this fine Monday afternoon to talk about a pair of wins for the Royals. How's it going, mate?
Yeah, very well, thank you. Yeah, back on the other side of the metaphorical desk this week. But yeah, just back up my voice back after a brilliant away day on Saturday.
Absolutely. The sight of the fans being back in the away stand and the packed Craven Cottage. Well, I suppose it's always packed when there's only three stands, but really good sort of championship atmosphere to it, wasn't there? And we'll get into that. We'll see, as I say, we talk about the Peterborough clash. And on Saturday, we're on telly, so we'll be talking about that later on. Before we get into that, though, as ever, big thanks to our sponsors, ZCZ Films, and our Patreon subscribers. And also a nudge, as always, to our Twitter newsletter, which has been up and running now for about 3 or 4 weeks. If you go on the Tyler Stem Twitter page, there should be a link right at the top for our review, which is sent out about every Wednesday, I think, at the moment, by the great Steve Curtis. So get on that, and that is your one-stop shop for your weekly roundup straight into your inbox of all things Tyler Stem and all things Reading FC. And we've got plenty of good stuff to talk about this week. So let's go into the recap and do that now.
Come rain or shine, it's time to relive the latest match action with the recap.
This podcast is sponsored by ZCZ Films, Reading's oldest ultras.
Let's go chronologically then, because I know everyone's itching to hear about the Fulham win, but let's do Peterborough first. 3-1 win, Swift with a free kick in the second half to get things going before quite soon after that, Tom Dele-Bashiru hit his first Reading goal with a lovely arrowed finish into the bottom corner. Peterborough did get back into it 15 minutes from time, Ollie, with a set-piece goal, surprise, surprise, but a fine strike from Dele-Bashiru, whether it took a deflection or not, is not quite, but I think the jury's out on that, to seal the win, and that got us over the line. Peterborough now 11 winless in Reading. I think 1968 was the last time Peterborough came and got a win in Berkshire against us. So this one just, it was so nice for Reading to get over the line and do it with a bit of a spectacular sense about it.
Yeah, I mean, we spoke on last week's show just that the fact that this game was just a must-win game. It didn't really matter how Reading got the job done, but the fact that they were facing a Peterborough side who had lost 6-2 to Sheffield United the weekend before, were around them in the championship table. It was simply a must win. And to their credit, yeah, they did just that. For the first hour or so, I think people would have been particularly worried. Neither side looked great, but the fact that Reading couldn't seem to break down, you know, what was a fairly average Peterborough side was a bit worrying. But yeah, then I think all it needed was that John Swift free kick to open the floodgates, really. And, you know, look, we've seen this season that Reading have no problem scoring goals, and you know, for Swift to get another one, for Dele-Bashiru to get two is obviously brilliant. And you know, we're seemingly not missing Lucas Shaw or Yaki Mate much, but you know, again, obviously Peterborough getting on the score sheet themselves, and of course at 2-1 when they put back 2-1, particularly after what happened against QPR the previous weekend, to you know, when we were 3-1 up with 11 minutes to go and then drew 3-3, you kind of get sort of a feeling that history might be repeating itself. But you know, great for them to show that they can hold on again. You know, not the greatest opponent in the world, and you know, Peterborough for me didn't look as if they'll amount to an awful lot this season. I know they won this weekend, but I think they'll probably be down there this season. But yeah, just to get the win, just to get over the line, just to prove that they can see games out, because it was such a fear, I think, of so many supporters, and I'd imagine that the players on the pitch may have felt themselves when Peterborough pulled one back that, oh no, here we go again. But to see it out and to give them that confidence boost going into Fulham at the weekend, and you know, we don't know how much of an impact that had, but I'm sure, you know, going into that Fulham game off the back of finally getting 3 points and seeing a game out, you know, will have given them, you know, a huge confidence boost going into the Fulham game, and, you know, may well have contributed to them getting the win there as well. So, yeah, a great start to the week, and obviously followed up on Saturday as well.
Yeah, that's a good point. You know, I don't think you get the Fulham win without the Peterborough win. If we lose to Peterborough, I think the Fulham game probably turns out very differently. And as you rightly say, Peterborough aren't the best team in the league. But when we went to Fulham, they, technically speaking, were the best team in the league. Top of the table, hosting a team in kind of lower mid-table. It's a bit of an accumulator buster, this one. Reading pulling out the 2-1 win, snapping a four-game losing streak on the road. And for me, I think that the storyline of Obi Ajari pulling out the two goals in this one. Is this a sense that, or is this a case rather that Ajari is, you know, did he have a brilliant game? Is he showing the sort of form that he hasn't been showing recently? Or is this more of a tactical thing? Because you look across that team with Swift, who is obviously causing a lot of problems at the moment. Opposition have to focus on him. Halilovic has started pretty well for Reading life, I'd say. Junior Hoylett came up front. And we had Deli Bashir in the centre mid as well, rather than having kind of two defence midfielders. There's a lot of attacking talent in that team and a lot of players that, you know, Fulham had to focus on. Did that kind of take the attention off of Ajari in a way and mean that, you know, instead of typically in the last couple of years, teams have just been able to double up on him or triple up on him and he's struggled to deal with that. But against Fulham, had a bit more space, wasn't really the focus of their defensive efforts. And, you know, that's what they learn, is that if you give Ajari a bit of space, he's always got the talent to punish that.
Yeah, I mean, and they might even have been complacent on him, as you say, off the way he started this season, obviously coming back from injury and from COVID as well. You know, his first game was QPR last weekend. You know, didn't really do an awful lot there, and was also not particularly a standout player against Peterborough. But, you know, we all know the quality that Ajari has, and he was the star man really on Saturday, just with the two goals of genuine quality. You know, they weren't just sort of, you know, run of the mill goals. They were absolutely brilliant in very different ways. Obviously, the first one, you know, cutting in from the left hand side and bending it beautifully past Paulo Gazzaniga, and then the second one I cannot find the words to describe it. I describe it as atmospheric in the player ratings. It's a beautiful ball over the top from Halilovic, and then, you know, the touch and spin from Ajari. I don't think there are many other players in the league that can do that. You know, the skill that he possesses is something else. And you know, and then calmly putting it past Gazzaniga, who didn't even move. You know, it's an absolutely brilliant finish. But yeah, you're right. You know, there's so much individual quality in this Reading team now. You know, not just going forward. Yes, there's John Swift and Halilovic and Tom Deli Bashiri, but obviously we saw at the back as well with Josh Laurent putting in a fantastic performance at centre back, despite seemingly having never played there before in his career. But yeah, that I think we saw Saturday that Reading can put in his performances because there is so much individual quality, and I think we have known that. You know, we know John Swift is a brilliant player. We know Ajari possesses great skill. You know, Halilovic, yes, his career has, you know, declined severely over the last couple of years, but ultimately, you know, you don't sign for Barcelona, for Milan, for, you know, for whatever. You don't play in the Champions League at 16 if you haven't got talent. So, and, you know, and Tom Deli Bashiri came through the academy at Man City. So, you know, all these players have considerable talent. And I think that's what sets Reading apart, maybe from, you know, if we are saying Reading are maybe going to be bottom half of the table this season. Obviously, you know, that the last week or so shifted that perhaps we could push higher than that. But obviously, still at the moment, it's looking as if it might be a sort of a mid-table season. What sets Reading apart from maybe the teams battling relegation, and what will hopefully push Reading away from that sort of area, is this individual quality from Ajayi, from Swift, from Halilovic, from Deli Bashiri, from Josh Laurent. You know, there's a lot of good players in this team, and, you know, that's without mentioning the fact that the Yaki Mate and Lucas Shaw are out injured. So yeah, it was great to see Ajari sort of come alive on Saturday. As I say, difficult start to the season for him with injury and COVID, but it was a reminder, if anyone did need it on Saturday, just the brilliant quality that he possesses.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's the thing with the individual quality as well is that we get some pretty decent goals as well. There haven't been many bad goals scored by Reading this season. I've seen in both of this week's games, and the entertainment factor is pretty decent. Just need to kind of sort out the defence now, and that'll sort itself out. We'll get onto that a bit later on because we're going to round up the injury news in News Spice. Word on John Swift, another assist against Fulham, 7 goals and 4 assists now. That's 15 goals. He's contributed in 11 of them. Obviously not his, you know, not the standout game for himself. Ajari was more the player against Fulham, but as we move into, you know, past the transfer window and everything now, supposedly a contract at the end of the season, is there a better player in the Championship right now? And if so, what do Reading do about it?
Yeah, I think the answer is no really for that question. I think that there's no one performing as consistently as John Swift at the moment. You know, obviously, Alexander Mitrovic was behind him, I think 1 goal behind him in the scoring charts going into Saturday's game, but he had an off day really, a couple of shots wide and wasn't really that effective for Fulham. You know, whereas Swift, you know, yes, he wasn't the standout player because Ajaria took that role, but he was still, you know, crucial to everything Reading did. You know, obviously got the assist for Ajaria's goal with a fairly simple pass to him, but, you know, everything Reading did still went through John Swift. You know, he drove the team forward, you know, some really nice sort of passages of play, sort of passes going through him. You know, he's still absolutely key, and, you know, it is always a good thing that maybe he wasn't the one to sort of steal the limelight on Saturday, because you don't want to become reliant on one player. And obviously it's brilliant to have someone of Swift's quality in the side, but, you know, you do want other players to step up, because, you know, Swift's injury record is what it is, and he doesn't tend to complete seasons. He'll tend to have at least a month or so out each season, so you are going to need other players to step up. So it was great to see Ajaria do that on Saturday, but as I say, you know, Swift was still sort of the hub of creativity in Reading's team, and he is absolutely crucial to how Reading play. And, you know, yeah, I suppose the discussion is always going to be around Swift this season, about the fact that his contract is up at the end of this season. You know, we spoke about it last week as well, and ultimately I think it just sort of seems that there's very little Reading can do. You know, we're unlikely to have the finances to renew his contract, you know, whether someone comes in for him in January or whether he signs a pre-contract agreement, I don't know. I think it's just going to have to be a case we might have to just simply enjoy Swift while he's here, and then wish him well for past his new. But yeah, he's absolutely on fire at the moment, and, you know, there's nothing I can really say about him, as we said already, because he's been brilliant. You know, we've known his quality, you know, throughout the 5 years that he's been here, but, you know, this now is really the most consistent he's performing for Reading, and yeah, he's been brilliant.
Well, I suppose that's the only thing I can add, is that there have been lots of players in the past who have turned up in the last season of their contract and performed very, very well, gone and got a big contract elsewhere and not quite hit the heights. So maybe Reading will be the beneficiaries to an extent of that for John Swift. But hopefully, you know, I think realistically you're looking at promotion if you want to keep him, or something else spectacular happening. Final points then for this game. Reading have now seen all 9 games this season, have seen both teams score, all 8 games rather, have seen both teams score and produce over 2.5 goals. This one, again, Fulham was very, very active in terms of Fulham creating chances against us. Luke Southwood with some heroics at the end. Is there a bit of a sense we got away with one? You know, the chances that Fulham created, certainly some good chance in there. There was a chance when Dickle over Reed hit the post at the end of the first half, which was very much created out of our own kind of letting a ball just drift across the 6-yard box without really doing anything about it. Reading aren't going to play teams as good as Fulham every week, but if we are going to, you know, be pushing up the table a bit more, we do still need to sort of cut out the defensive mistakes and really just continue to find a way of tightening up more at the back.
Yeah, I mean, look, we were all worried about Fulham going into this game, and obviously for good reason, because they do have, you know, so much quality in their side. And I think despite the result of the weekend, I think they'll still comfortably be up there at the end of the season fighting for promotion, and we'll probably get into the top two. And I think ultimately for them, it was just an off day in terms of finishing on Saturday, and also Luke Southwood had a brilliant game, which we haven't really mentioned yet. You know, he was outstanding, and, you know, it's really his shirt to lose now. after Raphael's injury, but you know, particularly that save at the end to deny Josh Onuma, just brilliant, you know, reflex actions with his right hand, I think it is. You know, I've just been watching that save over and over. It's just absolutely brilliant. I'm not really sure how he has the reflexes to save that, but yeah, he had a great afternoon. But yeah, I think it is worth mentioning that Fulham did have a number of chances. You know, Bobby Reid in particular probably could have had a hat trick in the first half. And yeah, as you say, they hit the woodwork twice at the end of the first half as well. So look, there was obvious quality in that Fulham side. But I think for the most part, Reading dealt with it pretty well. As I say, you know, Josh Laurent had a brilliant game at centre back. You know, Michael Morrison alongside him, he's not started the season in the greatest of form. It was more the Morrison that we saw last season, really, on Saturday. You know, he was organising the defence, you know, particularly with a fairly, obviously, with Josh Laurent next to him. He hadn't played centre back before with Babaraman at left back, who is still new to this team. So Morrison did a very good job. You know, obviously a shame to see Tom Holmes got off injured in the first half. But I think in general, you know, yes, that clean sheet is still eluding Reading at the moment. We came very, very close to it on Saturday. But, you know, there are certainly signs that this defence is beginning to shore up. You know, we had after shipping four against Huddersfield and three against QPR, you know, we now only conceded twice in two games, which is, you know, say compared to the record earlier in the season, isn't too bad. So, you know, hopefully that clean sheet comes soon and there are certainly signs of improvement. Did Fulham get lucky? Did Reading get lucky? I think you have to give credit where it's due to Reading in the fact that they did defend very well. Yes, Fulham missed chances, but Reading did make it difficult for them. You know, I'm not a huge fan of XG, but obviously, you know, the XG points towards, you know, that Fulham should have got the win. I think Fulham 2.6 XG compared to Reading 0.9 XG. So, you know, take from that what you will. But I think ultimately you have to praise Reading for being clinical and also for limiting the threat that Fulham had. And, you know, a huge portion of that credit has to go to Luke Southwood in goal and Josh Laurent at centre back.
Yeah, I wouldn't go as far as using the word lucky either. I think the lucky would imply that Reading kind of authors of their own downfall. And yeah, I think most of Fulham's chances, you have to, at the end of the day, realise that they've got players like Mitrovic, Harry Wilson, who are going to create good chances. And that's what they'll do pretty much in every home game they'll do this season, at least. They will cause teams problems. And if you deal with those problems, you'll get a good chance. And that's what Reading did, even if there were a couple of Fulham misses in there. So final point then, 3 points off the playoffs Reading are now. Three off the drop zone as well. So it's, I suppose it's eight games in, almost the sort of time you could really start taking the table seriously. But this week, for me, it doesn't alter kind of expectations or anything like that. It doesn't make me think, oh, we're suddenly a playoff team, or we're definitely not going to be, you know, miles away from relegation. We're 14th ultimately, which I think if you told Reading fans that that's where we finished, many would not really argue with you. So I think that this is, for me, this is more of a leaping off point. This is either Reading are going to go into the next couple of games. You know, we've got Middlesbrough who are doing a bit badly, Derby coming up as well. If Reading can take this week into those games and to, you know, produce a really good set of performances, get another couple of wins in the bag, you know, Cardiff away coming up as well, get 6 points or 7 points out of those games, then yes, that's when the expectations start to change. But off this week alone, I think any team can put together two wins over the course of the season, and we can enjoy it and certainly savour it. But for me, I think it's just, you know, it's something to savour in and of itself. It's not something that we need to apply to kind of the bigger picture just yet.
Yeah, and you know, that's the nature of the Championship. You know, teams can, you know, put, you know, strings of, you know, two, three wins together, and then they might go and lose three in a row. And that's just the beauty of the Championship. And yeah, you know, we spoke after the Huddersfield defeat and said how this period now, you know, up until the October international break was crucial. You know, most of all, really for Darko Panovic's job. You know, which obviously that seems to have died down a little bit now. So, you know, the fact that we've taken 7 points from this week, you know, QPR, Peterborough, Fulham, I think that's a brilliant return, really, you know, based off the fact where QPR were when we played them, and obviously Fulham as well. So, yeah, there's definitely an opportunity in the next couple of weeks. You know, Middlesbrough don't seem to be amounting to much this season, and obviously Derby have their own problems off the field. They beat Stoke at the weekend, so certainly don't take them for granted. But, yeah, it is a big opportunity. I think what this week will have done more than anything, will have been confidence. I think, you know, we came in off the back of the international break having just been, you know, battered 4-0 by Huddersfield, and everyone was probably, you know, the lowest they'd been really since Panovic has come in. But, you know, for, you know, just for the team, I think this week will have been huge. You know, going away to the league leaders, to the top scorers, a side who were in the Premier League last season, and getting a win, you know, will do wonders for team morale. And, you know, you're starting to see now, you know, the summer signings bedding in. Hlinović, brilliant again on Saturday, getting the assists. You know, Drinkwater came in for his debut and did okay. You know, we're seeing Tom Delibashiri now really come into his own. I thought he was brilliant again on Saturday after his two goals on Tuesday. And you're starting to see this squad come together now. And I think, you know, August, it was almost a bit of a full start for Reading, you know, with all the injuries, you know, the squad being padded out by academy players, which it just still is to a certain extent. But as I say, you're beginning to see Panovic's squad now come together. And it's, you know, to coin the cliche, you know, it's the trust the process argument that, you know, things aren't going to happen overnight, but things are now starting to click together. And, you know, look, the mood might dramatically change again if we go and lose to Middlesbrough and Derby. But, you know, there's certainly been signs now over this last week that Reading have more than enough to compete in the Championship this season. As you say, probably not playoff material, but I think certainly good enough to be in and around that mid-table area, you know, and maybe pushing higher. But yeah, it's done wonders this last week for the mood and the confidence around the club, I think.
Well, let's hear from Veljko Panovic himself to round off the recap, and then we'll be going into Mailbag to hear what you think on Reading this week.
I think today there was a special moment, and I think the Lions on the field and Lions on the stands had a great connection with our fans. I'm very grateful also to our fans for their support. That was amazing and fantastic. Also, farewell after the game. I think that's the character, that's the identity we have to keep forging, and always a tear, always go back to it when it's hard, when it's difficult. And to be fair, when we consider today, we also said we played against a great team. And it was very hard to consistently match up their attacking potential. But I believe we didn't crumble in that moment. And for the first time, we could manage to grind out the 3 points away in this season. And it's a great thing, a great feeling to be the part of the team today.
For all the latest Reading news, analysis and opinion, visit the website at thetilehurstend.com.
Getting those questions to the Twitter and Facebook to have your say in the mailbag and to guide our conversation. Also, there's the Gmail address, thetilehurstend@gmail.com. That's thetilehurstend@gmail.com to fire in any questions you have. Alice has done it this week, saying, when are people booking the Purple Turtle up for a promotion party? He also said, would you start Scott Dan or Josh Lawrence at centre-back next time out? Ben Thomas adding, if the world is invaded by aliens, which one person would you send to fight them, and why would it be Josh Lawrence? I think the performance, it almost doesn't surprise me, Ollie, to be honest, because Josh Lawrence, we know that he is such a box-to-box midfielder, and he's added, I think this season in particular, he's added a bit more of an attacking dimension to himself, more of an ability on the ball. But we spoke last season so much about how him and Andy Winnemotter were such good defensive midfielders in that pairing, and to drop him back into centre-back. And I think, yeah, obviously he's had a brilliant game, but almost I'm not surprised he's had a brilliant game, because we know just how good he is. And central midfielders in particular, you have to be a jack of all trades. And for him to come in and do a good job, I suppose it is almost the last resort now, because we're kind of thinking about who we want at centre-back, with McIntyre, Holmes and Moore out. As you know, maybe Holmes, we don't know how long he's out for, but Moore certainly seems to be weeks. McIntyre, I think a couple months still left. Scott Dan has come in, but he's not played a minute of football this season. And also, would you really want to play him alongside Morrison? That's a kind of League One Chiellini and Bonucci kind of lack of pace sense, isn't it? So I think that for me, you've got to give it to Laurent next weekend and just let him do what he does, because he is certainly at a Championship level. He can do everything.
Yeah, I'm not sure if you said to me a couple of months ago that we'd be playing Josh Lauren at centre back, you know, in the first 10 games of the championship. I think I'd have laughed my head off. But yeah, no, he was brilliant on Saturday. As you say, not really a surprise. I mean, you have to give him an immense amount of credit, you know, not to my knowledge that he's played centre back before, but yeah, he made it look so easy. And I think I wrote it in the player ratings, but you know, there are very few players that I watched in a Reading shirt that go about their job with, you know, with such ease and such professionalism. You know, he just does it brilliantly. Everything he does, you know, it's not, you know, flashy. It's not, you know, skillful. It's just getting the job done. And Laurent does that brilliantly. You know, breaking up the play, making deceptions. You know, just showing passion. You know, for the shirt and for the club. You know, and sometimes that's what you want as fans is for players to give 100%. Is for them to show pride in playing for Reading Football Club, and Josh Lauren does that. You know, he's bought into the club, he's bought into the fan base, and you know, you saw him celebrating in front of the away end on Saturday. You know, the knee slide, you know, the beaming smile across his face. You know, he clearly loves being here. Whether he's here beyond this season, I don't know with his contract and stuff, but he's been a brilliant addition, and obviously signing from a free last summer as well. You know, he's got to go down as one of our best bits of transfer business over the last decade or so. You know, he's been absolutely brilliant, and yeah, I think you'd be hard pushed not to start him at centre back on Saturday against Middlesbrough. Whether he wants to, I don't know, but obviously, you know, Drinkwater can come in and play midfield, or if Brendan Motta's back, I'm not sure. Yeah, we don't know quite how bad Tom Holmes's injury is. He came out, he emerged in front of the away fans on Saturday with a protective boot on his leg, so that doesn't seem too good. Yeah, Scott Dan, you know, hopefully isn't too far away. Obviously, didn't have a pre-season. You know, he was training by himself really over the summer. Obviously, let go by Palace at the end of last season, so this is essentially his pre-season now, so he's still getting up to speed. A partnership of Dan and Morrison, I don't know, obviously, you know, Derby are playing Curtis Davis and Phil Jagielka at the moment, and it doesn't seem to be doing too badly for them. I mean, I wouldn't be massively against it, particularly if you've got the pace of Yeardom and Rahman fullback. But yeah, I think at the moment, I think you'd have to go into Saturday against Middlesbrough, you know, with Morrison and Laurent, and you certainly wouldn't have any worries about that, you know, based off how both of them played. On Saturday, as I say, you know, Morrison's had a difficult start to the campaign, but Saturday was definitely his best display of the season so far. So yeah, I think if it's not broke, don't fix it. So yeah, I think you'd have to go with Lauren and Morrison next weekend.
Yeah, and I'd add in actually that Lawrence won the ball for the first goal, just to underline his defensive prowess. Whether he's got, you know, facing Middlesbrough and Neil Warnock team, whether you've got the, you know, the aerial capabilities that necessarily may need to face that sort of team, it's a little bit TBC, but I certainly think if it's him or, you know, an unfit Scott Dan or maybe an academy player such as Nelson Abbey, I think I'd go with Josh Lauren. Steve Lowden, also on the topic of team selection, how will Raphael get back into the side after the Southwood show? Ollie, you sang his praises in the recap, and it certainly was. I was trying to analyse Luke Southwood, and I suppose it's difficult with goalkeepers because maybe you don't see the whole thing, and particularly, you know, just as a first kind of glimpse at him. We've only really seen him for, what, 3 games now, really, in a Reading shirt. And I find he's one of the, probably since Alex McCarthy, the most agile goalkeeper that we've had here, because the way he leaps across the box and everything, his ease of movement is quite spectacular. And you see that in some of the saves he makes. And I think I'm perhaps a little bit calmed from the, you know, the Southwood show kind of things, because, you know, for the Onoma shot at the end that Fulham almost had, I kind of watched that and you kind of think, is the save because he didn't actually have his body kind of opened up enough anyway? Was it, did he kind of correct that error by making the save? And it's certainly for the Fulham goal, I'd say he's kind of come out a little bit too far and left the goal open. So he's by far from the finished product, but, you know, at the same point though, it was obviously a really good performance, and he has that potential, doesn't he, Ollie? He's a young player. He's academy grown, obviously. He's, you know, he's cost us nothing. And in a time when Reading don't have loads and loads of money, if Raphael was to leave for whatever reason, or, you know, we were to have to depend on Luke Southwood, certainly for the next few weeks, I'm very happy to give it to him, because with goalkeepers, you have to give him that chance, and he's got that talent. He's made the performance now that shows that he can handle himself against the very best of the Championship. And whether he can do that for, you know, 8 weeks, 9 weeks or months, whatever, we'll find out. But I think he's earned that right to show us whether he can do it over that period.
I think that's exactly the case. Yeah, you know, ultimately, if you give him that chance, and he's taken it brilliantly in the last couple of games, you know, he absolutely deserves the chance to keep his place. You know, we don't quite know when Rafael is going to be back. Obviously, his injury is not as bad as was first feared. But yeah, I think it has to be Luke Southwood's shirt to lose now. Obviously, he has a certain level of sympathy because he's an academy player. So that certainly, you know, counts in his favour. But yeah, I think, as you say, he's not the finished product. But Saturday, yeah, he was very, very good. The agility thing, you know, obviously he's not the tallest goalkeeper. I think he's probably only about 6'1". So he's not the tallest goalkeeper in the world. But yeah, that does allow him to spring into action, to jump and collect crosses very well. So I thought he was brilliant on Saturday. And, you know, I have to say, I'm getting a bit of humble pie really a little. I think when it was announced that Rafael would be out for a couple of the games, I was a bit worried about whether Southwood would be good enough to step in. I wasn't overly impressed really with what I saw in sort of cup games and the Huddersfield game at the last game of last season. But yeah, he's come in, and, you know, he said in his interview after the Fulham game that he sort of thrives off playing in front of a crowd, and maybe that's it. You know, obviously last season he was playing behind closed doors, and in cup games the attendances aren't great, but he seemed to thrive off playing both in front of a packed away end in the first half and a hostile home crowd in the second half. So yeah, you know, definitely his shirt to lose now. You know, ultimately that's what you have to do with goalkeepers. You know, until they make an error, you know, there's no sort of real justification for them to lose their place. And, you know, I think Rafael's not been perfect. You know, there were little sort of murmurs about him before he got injured, and certainly he's not quite the same player he was in his first season with us, where he was very, very good, and obviously I think he won the club's player of the season award. So he's not at that level, and, you know, sometimes it takes that injury to a first-choice goalkeeper to give someone like Southwood the opportunity, and he's taken it with both hands. You know, it's always great to see an academy player come through. You know, the question marks whether Southwood would make it at Reading. So for him to get his chance, it's obviously brilliant to see. And you know, long may it continue, and hopefully a clean sheet isn't too far around the corner.
Yeah, that's definitely the next thing that Reading need on their agenda. A couple more questions there from the mailbag. Tom's saying, what year will Ejaria win his first Ballon d'Or? Certainly a step closer to it after Saturday. And Matt Williams saying, Couple used to talk a lot about players who were used to winning or used to losing. Do you think that's been a factor recently? We don't now have more Rafael, Rinomata, etc., where conceding a lead was just an inevitability. Drink water, etc., bring winning mentalities with them. I kind of 50-50 on this as a concept. I think certainly, obviously, winning mentality is important. I also do think that fresh faces coming into the squad, certainly a squad that needs a bit of a turnaround, is really useful. You know, you can imagine the Reading players knowing that they've lost a couple of players going into pre-season, and then finally getting those men through the door, you know, basically when the season's already started and the defeats have come, certainly is a bit of a boost. But at the same point, you know, players like Mor, Rafael, Rinomata did have a really good season last year, did finish quite high up the table. And whether they were used to losing or not, I think perhaps for me, Ollie, it's more of a management aspect than the individual players. I find it starts with the manager and whether he is able to kind of bring teams through. You watch certain managers who are, you know, the great winning manager, someone like Mourinho, for example, really knows how to manage his players through that last 15, 20 minutes. And perhaps that's the thing that Reading have struggled with, is that Paunovic hasn't really been great at managing games. And obviously the players play a role in that. But what do you think? Do you think that it's the kind of new players coming in that have bred a bit more of a winning mentality?
I think it's a bit of both. I think you're right to say that just the injection of fresh legs, really. They bring a bit of a fresh life to the squad, you know, a bit of a buzz around the changing room, you know, particularly when, you know, whether they're exciting young players like Tom Delibashiru, you know, or their experienced players like Dan, Drinkwater and Hoylett, you know, so to speak. So, yeah, I think it's definitely a bit of both. I think it's it's not as simple as saying, oh, Reading have won two games now that Liam Moore is outside. As you say, you know, Moore had a good season last year. I don't think you can pinpoint Reading's struggles at the start of this season purely down to him being in the side. I think you have to give credit to Panovic. You know, he's taken a lot of stick, you know, this season, but he obviously got his players up for the game on Saturday. You know, he managed the game, you know, pretty well compared to previous games this season. You know, bringing on George Puskas and Dejan Tetek right at the end of the game, which, you know, probably sounds like a very simple thing to do, but obviously, you know, against QPR last weekend, you know, his game management was brought into question with the Tom Holmes sub for George Puskas. And, you know, but it was a contrast on Saturday where it was, you know, he brought in those players just for fresh legs, really, more than anything, to help see the game out and just to give a bit of an energy boost to Reading. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think, you know, as you say, it's harsh to say that players like Moore and Raphael and Rinomata are used to losing, you know, but certainly bringing in players like Danny Drinkwater, who, yes, hasn't played for, you know, consistently for 3 or 4 years, you know, brings that experience. And that's really what that did, you know, this Reading side needed this summer was bringing in just knowledgeable heads, just experienced heads who have played in this division, you know, like Coylett, like Scott Down, who's obviously played in the Premier League for many years. So, yeah, I think it's a bit of both. I think you have to give, you know, as with when you're, you know, losing games, whether you want to blame the manager or the players, it's, you have to, you know, when you're winning games, you have to credit, you know, both the manager and the players for making it happen.
And Badgen is saying, I think this result puts to bed the Pauno out argument. Give him the resources and he will deliver. How can people doubt him now? I think certainly it puts to bed the argument for, you know, the next couple of months, really. Ultimately, Ollie, we've got to find someone to replace some Barovic, who is better, if we were to sack him. And really, I think that at this level with our financial situation, you know, it's all been said, but that getting rid of Paunovic is only kind of 50% of the decision that you have to make. If you sack a manager, you have to find someone to replace him. And you know, he knows the players. He's been really important to getting the signings and everything like that through. He's apparently played a big, much bigger role with that. So I think, for, you know, the benefit of this result or these two results is that we don't have to really be worrying or looking over Twitter expecting news about potential meetings with the managers and that sort of stuff. And hopefully it's just something that we can not really concern ourselves with for the next few weeks at least.
I mean, the whole situation really sort of sums up the fickle nature really of a football fandom and sort of, you know, how volatile it is in terms of, you know, wanting a manager in, wanting a manager out. You know, you lose a couple of games and, you know, he's got to go, and then you win a couple of games in a row, and his job is very safe. So, look, I think, as I say, we spoke about how vital this period was going to be for Vuka Panovic. You know, not easy fixtures, a lot of pressure building on him from the fan base. Look, I don't think he's, you know, completely redeemed himself. I think it is only two games. You know, last week against QPR, conceding the lead was a worry. It is only two games, one game against the side in Peterborough, who I think struggled this season. You know, obviously the Fulham result was one of the best results we've had in his tenure. But, you know, look, if he goes on to lose the next three, the mood will change very dramatically again. And it is very hard to see, you know, what happens next. You know, I don't think anyone would be, you know, so confident to predict that we're going to win the next three, but I don't think anyone's also, you know, not doom and gloom enough to say we're going to lose the next three. So it is very difficult. You know, he's certainly bought himself time, I think, with these two results, and that's what we spoke about, but what he needs to do. You know, who knows, you know, that things can change very quickly in football. But as I said earlier in the show, you know, it's about trusting that process. And, you know, no one wants to see a manager sacked. You want to see him get that opportunity. And as I say, we are now seeing what's happening when he's having this time to bed new players in, you know, and that's still happening. You know, Drinkwater will get more up to speed. Scott Dan will get match fit and will have a role to play. You know, we'll see more of Junior Hoylett. We'll see more of Halilovic. You know, we're seeing what Tom Dedibashiru can do now. He's had a month to bed into the club and getting game time. So I think it is, yeah, it's it's a still improving and a still learning squad. You know, ultimately still an improving and still learning manager. So we have to give him that time, and particularly, as I say, with the squad, you know, still developing as it is, with players coming back from injury. You know, he has more players available to his disposal. You know, he doesn't have to put academy players on the bench. So, yeah, he's definitely bought himself that time. I think people certainly weren't willing to give him that time before this week. But I think these two results and these two performances, and particularly just sort of the whole mood around the club, that the result against Fulham has given everyone. I think that's certainly, you know, yeah, I agree with Badger, sort of put this sort of panel out. Rumours to bed for now, but as I say, things can change very quickly in football. And if we're, you know, again down the bottom 3-1 next international break, there'll be people calling for his head again. So it is a very volatile situation, and he's not quite out the woods just yet. But, you know, hopefully, you know, this is now where Reading kickstart their season, and we, you know, go on and hopefully make it, you know, 3-4 wins in a row over the next week or so.
Absolutely. Well, let's go into news bites now and run down the rest of the news from Reading FC this week, and then after that we'll go into big match preview.
Be loud and be proud and back the boys and make some noise. Come on, you Rs!
Shout out to this week's podcast sponsor, ZCZ Films, showing that age is no barrier to being a hooly hoop.
Just wanted to update you on the injury situation, really, because Reading, I mean, we're going to have a hell of a squad when everyone's back. But just to run you through what's been going on in the last week or so, Tom Holmes has now joined Liam Moore in getting injured this week. Liam Moore with a pretty nasty collection, I guess you can call it, of a boot to his ankle, which looks like it's going to keep him out for a couple of months, although confirmation of that hasn't come. We also haven't got confirmation yet on Tom Holmes coming off against Fulham, but as Ollie said earlier, came off with a protective boot as he walked past the fans and the other centre-back that we're currently out or missing at the moment. Tom McIntyre, looks like a couple more months for him. He's been wearing a protective boot and been on crutches these last couple of weeks. And Scott Dan has still not appeared for a match day squad, but that will probably change on Saturday. Rafael, the goalkeeper, not too long that we think he'll be back, because he's now said that he did not break his hand punching a whiteboard after we drew against QPR. Not often I've said that on this podcast, but as a sentence. But yeah, Rafael doesn't sound like he'll be too long. There were talks that he'd had a meeting with Paunovic before the Fulham game and had not been picked or whatever. I'm not really sure there's too much credence to give that. I'd imagine if he wasn't picked, he probably would have spoken to Paunovic at some point. But obviously we've got Southwood, it's fine at the moment. Anyway, also currently missing Lucas Shaw, Yaku Mate, Femi Aziz, Andy Winamoto and Philippe Araruna. Yes, he still does play for Reading. So, Ollie, I guess the thing here is that when all these players are back, we're going to have a really big squad, and B, quite a decent, a very full championship squad, actually.
Yeah, I mean, that's what I was just saying, you know, when these players come back, you know, and there's more options at Panovich's disposal, it looks a very decent squad indeed. And you know, you have to give you know Paunovic credit, and obviously it has been a mitigating factor in the first few weeks of the season that all of these players are out. So yeah, it's disappointing, of course, for Tom Holmes. You know, it was a big opportunity for him at the weekend, obviously Moore getting injured in midweek, and you know, Holmes would have thought, you know, it's a big opportunity for him over the next couple of months, obviously with no real competition, with Scott Dan still finding match fitness. So a shame for Tom Holmes. But yeah, look, there's an awful lot of potential now when this squad comes back. You know, whether more players get injured, I don't know. I think you look at someone like Felipe Araruna, who's not played, I think, probably since pre-COVID, I think. You know, so he'll almost be like a new signing. You know, whether, you know, we still don't really know quite what sort of player he is, or sort of quite how good he is. So, you know, he himself will be almost like a new signing if he does get some game time under Paunovic. So, yeah, there's a lot of quality sitting on that treatment table at the moment. So, the squad and the starting 11, you know, can only get better when these players come back.
Yeah, I certainly think that it's going to be an interesting fight at the team sheet whiteboard almost to get back into that team in February. And if Reading can keep themselves in contention until then there's certainly going to be an interesting end to the season ahead. Let's catch up with the other teams then of Reading's weekend. The underway teams drew 1-1 with Derby in the Premier League Cup, opening up their campaign. The under-23s, they face Norwich at the Select Car Leasing tonight, a.k.a. Monday night. That's at the Madstad. A week ago, they lost 2-0 to Nottingham Forest. And the women's team, they got on a weekend off this week because of the internationals, but it's a tough start to the season so far. Quite an unfair 2-0 defeat to Man United, which included a goal going over the line but not being given, was followed by 4-0 defeat to Arsenal. And they've now got Spurs, who have started well on Sunday the 26th. That is away at Tottenham. So something hopefully for the women's team to bounce their season off to a good start. You can catch reports from these games, particularly the women's and the under-23s this season on the Tyler Said website. Hopefully get a bit more coverage into them so that you can find out what's been going on and keep track of the other Reading FC teams away from the men's senior team who face Middlesbrough on Saturday. So let's go to Big Match Preview. Talk about that now.
You're listening to the Tilehurst End podcast by Reading fans for Reading fans.
Well, Middlesbrough have had much quieter games than Reading so far. Five games have been below 2.5 goals compared to 0 for Reading. And it's on telly, so we'll find out which is going to prevail, the kind of boring Neil Warnock football or the very entertaining Velka Paunovic football that we've had so far this season. 12:30 kick-off on Saturday on Sky Sports for Middlesbrough. They've had one win in six, Ollie. They're 16th, having lost to Blackpool on the weekend. That was a 2-1 defeat. They led and then only conceded one shot on target and lost. So quite a feat there for Middlesbrough. And actually, this is a little bit of a bogey team because Middlesbrough have beaten Reading 8 times out of their last 9 meetings. One draw in that. So Reading haven't beaten Middlesbrough since 2015. So this is, you look at the Middlesbrough side of the form and you think perfect. And then you look at the kind of history between the teams. You realise this is actually a bit of a bogey team for Reading and that getting a result, it'll be difficult.
Yeah, it's always a strange one against Middlesbrough. You know, you always look at them and think that it's going to be a tough game. I think it will be on Saturday, you know, particularly, you know, under Neil Warnock. You know, they've not had the best season so far, but they're certainly not being outplayed in games. But, you know, looking down their team sheet, you know, there's not really any players that particularly jump out at you. You know, a lot of sort of run-of-the-mill championship players, the likes of, you know, Johnny Howson, Lee Peltier, Grant Hall, and then also this summer they seem to sign a couple of players from overseas, Martin Piero, James Lee Saliki, Andreas Sparara. I don't know how you pronounce it, but you know they don't really seem like Neil Warnock signings. You know, Neil Warnock signings are the likes of Matt Crooks and Uche Ikpeazu. You see more sort of Neil Warnock signings. So I don't know whether, you know, quite this sort of, you know, some recruitment going on behind the scenes that Warnock's quite not quite on board with. I don't know, but you know, for whatever reason, it's not quite clicked for them this season, and that there shouldn't really be an awful lot for Reading to fear, particularly, you know, off the back of the Fulham win and the confidence boost that's provided. But you know, as we say, this is a championship, and every game's a tough game. And as I say, you know, Warnock sides are hard to beat. They're not getting outplayed in games, so it's certainly going to be a tough physical battle. You know what you're going to expect when you come up against a Neil Warnock side. So yeah, I'd like to think that the Reading would certainly get at least a point out of it and hopefully a win, particularly with Middlesbrough's form. As I say, no real star players in that side, but yeah, who knows? I think, as I say, the championship can surprise you, and it's not going to be an easy game, that's for sure.
The one question I have then going into this, one that we haven't covered yet at least, is do you go with Junior Hoylett or George Puskas up front? He seems to have a bit of a better game against Peterborough Puskas, and Hoylett was perhaps a bit of a horses for courses input against Fulham, with Reading clearly being kind of, you know, going out on the break and wanted a bit more pace and a bit more trickiness. The pace and trickiness will certainly help against the Warnock team, but sometimes you do have to fight fire with fire, and Puskas perhaps a bit more of a presence up front. I would probably go back to Puskas for you know, that kind of reason. Hoylett as a winger going up front against two big centre-backs might just get lost in that kind of battle, and Puskas a bit more of a focal point up there to allow, you know, Ajaria and Halilovic, etc., to work their magic. What would you do?
Yeah, I agree. I think, as I say, it's going to be a pretty physical game on Saturday, and George Puskas will probably deal with that better than Junior Hoylett. But I thought Hoylett played okay on Saturday. It was certainly a tactical decision that I was surprised by, probably not one I'd be overly keen on seeing again. As I say, I thought he was okay. I think particularly for someone who's not a natural striker, I think he obviously sort of provides the trickiness that a natural winger provides. He was a bit of a nuisance for Fulham's defence. Sort of certainly gave him something to think about, and as you say, you know, maybe took the attention off the likes of Ajari and Swift and Hrlović. So I don't think he's a bad option to have, particularly in the fact that we haven't really got many other options up front apart from George Puskas and a couple of academy kids. You know, it might even be the sort of game on Saturday where Jamari Clark might come in, or Kelvin, who I would just call Kelvin because I'm not going to try and pronounce his second name. But, you know, they're both sort of big physical strikers, so it might be a sort of game where we see them for the final 10 minutes or something. But, yeah, I would have George Puskas back into the side. I was surprised he didn't play on Saturday. I don't know whether it was just a fitness thing, whether he played on Saturday and on Tuesday against Peterborough, whether Panovic was just resting him, or whether it was tactical. But yeah, I would probably bring George Puskas back in, and look, surely just by the law of averages, he's due a goal any time. So hopefully that arrives next weekend.
Yeah, that sounds nice. Certainly, he is absolutely due a goal. There's no doubt about that. Let's finish off the show with predictions then. It's been, Westy has taken he's extended his lead even more this week because he picked up Peterborough 3-1, which now means he's on 12 points and well clear of the pack. Also, getting 3-1 against Peterborough was Adam. He's now on 4 points. So Westy leads on 12, Ollie, you're on 5, Adam on 4, and then myself, Sim, Handbags and Ben all on 3 points, just picking up a few results rather than the correct scores so far. So I'll start us off then. I think this is going to be a 2-1 Reading win. Feels like a familiar scoreline, but I do think Reading have it in them to go and get this bogey off their back that is Boa and, of course, Neil Warnock. What would you say for this one?
Yeah, and that is a remarkable lead this early in the season for Westy, a seven point lead after 8 games. I'll also give a shout out to Sim, who was the only one to predict a win against Fulham on Saturday.
And I had 1-1 for Fulham. I put 1-1 for Fulham. I was like, that's really optimistic of me. I'm probably not going to get a point there. It wasn't even optimistic enough.
Yeah, I think I was just confident it was just going to be a very, very heavy defeat. But, you know, as I say, now that even, you know, that goes to prove just what a brilliant result it was. But, yeah, as I said, there's not, I don't look at this member for side and think there's an awful lot to fear. You know, there's a famous last words, I suppose. But, yeah, I'm going to back up to get our first clean sheet. I'm going to go 2-0 Reading.
2-0 Reading then, lovely. Well, that is certainly going to be a good Saturday lunchtime in front of the TV if it does come off that way. As I say, Middlesbrough do have a very good record against Reading recently, but it's, you know, these records are made to be broken. And this last week has certainly broken some of the scepticism around Reading. It's been a fine ride to get some a couple of wins, and also this has been a very entertaining start to the season as well. There's no doubt about that. Plenty of goals. Let's see how we can test that up against Middlesbrough on Saturday. Ollie, as always, a pleasure to have you on the show.
Cheers. Thank you very much.
And we will be back after that Middlesbrough game. 12:30 kickoff on Sky Sports. It is on Saturday. A chance for the Reading to finally show in front of the watching world that we are back and well and truly in this championship dogfight. Until then, thank you for listening. Come on, you ass.
Yeah. You smile, funny how the crowds always leave a trail, even when it seems on.